This meeting is now being recorded.
Oh no, we should start over. All right. Welcome to the CCTRT Competition and Consumer Choice Subteam meeting. I'm Jordan Buchanan, and I'll be chairing your meeting today. And we were just talking about establishing an agenda. I propose that we talk through an update on data sources and projects. And it may be helpful as part of that. I don't know, Aliza, I'm going to totally put you on the spot, but to see if we, for the projects that we previously assigned to staff or to analysis group, if we have any sense of timing or additional information needed for the team. On those projects might be helpful. And then start to transition to, if we believe that most of our projects are underway, we're going to start getting data to start to talk through how we're going to approach putting together our report. And for that part, it actually would be helpful to have Jonathan here so we can figure out how he imagines the two sub-teams combining together to put together the eventual report. Any other topics that people would like to discuss on this call today? No. Okay.
Some progress with the quality analysis.
Oh yes. Okay. So yeah, so it'd be good probably to talk through each of the major sort of data analysis efforts going on at the start. And we have our little spreadsheet of data analysis tasks up in the Adobe Connect, if people would like to look at that. I'm a little scared of running through the whole list again.
Jordan, if I can jump in, this is Aliza. I can give you a pretty quick update on a few things.
So sure, why don't we start with that?
So the first being the list of projects for our analysis group. So they have begun the work on that, and I think ultimately we identified five distinct projects for them. The first one was an update to a table, which was the sort of market segment grouping that Stan had done. So that they're going to incorporate into their report. So you'll receive that with their report. The remaining items, I just had a conversation with them yesterday about how they anticipated delivering those, because those they were not planning to include in their report. Their suggestion was to deliver each of those a separate Excel file that contained the associated results, underlying data, calculations, and with accompanying memos that explained each of the analyses. So this would be kind of four different Excel files and four different memos. And they proposed getting that to the team by August 16. They wanted to know if that was an acceptable date for you or if you wanted any of those projects sooner than August 16.
I mean, do we want them earlier than August 16? Sure. I don't know. I mean, it seems 6 weeks seems like a reasonable turnaround. Most of them, with the exception of the ones that are just really straightforward computations. It seems like, for example, the HHI and four firm and eight firm concentration calculations should be pretty mechanical, assuming they already have that data. I don't know, Stan, do you have thoughts? Is Stan on the call?
Yes.
Yeah, Stan, do you have thoughts about the timeline?
I think that's reasonable. I think the biggest issue is the missing pieces of data. So they're going to be constrained by whether or not we get various pieces of data. They can certainly do some of the analysis by then, but there may still be missing data at that point.
Sure. All right. So it sounds like is everyone comfortable with that August 16th date to get the projects back? Kyla?
So, just to make clear, as I understand, before we are planning for end of August 29th and 30th, are we moving ahead by
No, no. So this is just to receive data from analysis groups. Yeah. So that'll be good. When we have our face to face, we'll have this information. So that will definitely be helpful. Yeah. Yes. So yes, that will help our next face to face. Hey, Waldo. Waldo has joined.
Hello, Joseph.
Hello. How are you?
Meeting has started.
Pardon? Yeah, meeting has started. Okay. So thanks for that update, Lisa. That sounds like good progress.
Okay, great. Then I'll let them know that August 16th date works.
And I think one thing we had discussed previously was as they were doing these side projects to figure out some set of us, including at least Stan, one or more of us, including Stan, to be working collaboratively with them as much as possible. Do we have a framework to actually do that as they dive into this work?
I haven't really discussed that with them. In terms of this analysis, they're kind of, if they've taken your direction and are going to be constructing that, so I don't know if they need any more additional feedback. But I'm happy to try to figure out a way to have Stan join our calls with them or something like that, if that would be helpful.
Yeah, and obviously that's, although Stan, I think, is the critical party, if there's other people that would also be interested in engaging with Analysis Group as they work through the work. I think this was previously we discussed it, so in some cases we're going to be constrained to relying on Analysis Group to doing things because they have data that we don't have access to, but we wanted to be involved in continuous discussions with them so that we understood what they were doing, and as a sort of control to make sure that we were confident about the outputs. So I'd like, if Stan's willing, I would like Stan to be involved with that. And then anyone else in the sub-team presumably should also be welcome to join that effort as well.
I'll try to be available for calls with them if Elisa can arrange them.
Okay. And is anyone else from the sub-team interested in joining those? Wado is? And Dan? Okay. So, Elisa, we can talk offline, or if you want to just talk to them and see.
Optionally me, but it depends on timing.
And optionally Megan.
Okay.
But, yeah, Elisa, let's just talk offline. But I think roughly we should just, if you want to talk to them and roughly express that we just want to, we want to be able to understand the methodology. And the methodology, they may just say, oh, Stan wrote down this thing and we're doing it and we already have the data and they'll tell us where they got it from. That's fine. But I think we just want to be confident that it's just not a black box that the figures are emerging from.
Jordan,
go ahead.
Back to my earlier point, it would be useful if they would tell us as they go along where they're limited by data availability, because I don't think we have at this point all of the data we need to do all of the calculations.
Yeah, agreed. That would be really helpful. And Elisa, maybe we could ask them explicitly that right now. What, in order to complete their projects, if they could identify things that they believe are missing in order to do that.
Okay.
All right.
So that is Analysis Group. I also wanted to take some of your time this morning, evening, afternoon, to talk about what the data set that I emailed you all about a couple of days ago. So I send you the ZipNIC data. The other piece was the NTLD stats data, and I've been corresponding with someone there, Dennis, about their capacity for doing more analysis for you. And basically, what they indicated was that they might be able to ramp up the timeline a bit, but they basically have to be doing, they have about 2 months worth of engineering and building to do similar analysis for either legacy GTLDs or CPTLDs. But he is definitely open to talking about what they could do for you. I think he just wanted to get a narrower frame of what the team would like.
Sure. So maybe it would make sense to set up a call with him and a sub-team. Anyone interested from the sub-team in joining, talk through both their capabilities and what we're interested in, similar to what we did with the analysis group in the Nielsen surveys as they got ready to field them.
This is Stan again. There seems to be at least two holes, major holes. One is that we don't have all the CCTL data, a source for all the CCTL data. Jordan identified, I can't remember which one it was, an open CCTLD, but there are other CCTLDs for which we do not have the basic data. And then, quite frankly, I don't understand why it's so hard for NTLD stats to generate the parking data. They seem to generate it for the new GTLDs almost on a real-time basis. I mean, that every time you go on, that number is different. So people don't understand better than I do, but I don't understand why it's going to take them so long to do it for example, for the legacy GTLDs.
Yes, Dan, I tend to agree. It's confusing to me as well for the legacy GTLDs in particular. For the CCTLDs, it's possible things like the IP addresses or name servers that people routinely use for park sites are different. Like maybe there's particular country hosts or something like that. But I would imagine that on the GTLD that they would be roughly comparable between the new Gs and the legacy Gs. So I agree it's surprising. So I think it would be helpful to get some of us on a call with them to understand maybe there's things that they're thinking we want from them that we don't really need, or maybe it's more complicated than we think as well.
Yeah, I just point out that they report many different parking statistics, and we don't need all of them. If that's the source of the delay, we can narrow our data request, because I think all I want at the moment is the single number they report for parking. They have a lot of other, they have like seven other metrics, and I'm not sure that we need them all.
Yeah, so I actually think there's a separate thing that we'll need to do, and maybe we'll make this an agenda item for the next call, is to decide what we think parking is.
Yeah.
Because there are a number of ways to think, you know, is a site that redirects to another site, is that parked? Or is that maybe that's defensive, but not parked. Is a site that's just not used at all, that are we calling that parked, or are we going to have a different terminology for that? So I think we'll probably need to spend a little bit of time thinking about how we want to approach that. I think I mentioned this earlier. While we were in D.C., I found an interesting paper about park sites. So I will send that around to the group, and people can come into our next call, more educated on the topic. And we'll.
Jordan,
yeah?
I circulated the other day a single page from their website that, as far as I can tell, lists something like seven different ways in which they measure something like parking. That's how they do it for the new GTLDs. I'm not sure that we need it all. In fact, I'm quite sure we don't need it all. That's why I was wondering whether if we narrow our request, they could move more quickly.
Yeah, I think the main problem is that their overall park number is just the sum of those seven things. So if they don't.
No, actually, it isn't quite that. I tried that too. So it's but you guys understand this much better than I do. So if we just need one number from them, would that make their task easier?
Right. Yeah. So that's a good conversation that we should have. So let's flag the following actions. Jordan's going to circulate this paper on parking because it helps us just understand the various types of things that people do in parking
a little bit.
Yeah. I will also try to annotate the thing you sent around, Stan, with. Little bit of description of what I think they're doing in each of those areas, so we can understand what they're calling parking a little bit more. So everyone else's homework is to read those things, and then we'll have a discussion on our next call about this. In the meantime, the right sequence would be to wait to do that and then talk to NTLD stats, but I don't necessarily want to wait 2 weeks before we have our next conversation with NTLD.
No, actually, I agree with that. I think what we should do, if we can do it offline, is reach a consensus on which of those measures we want and go back to them and say, if this is all we want, can we do it more quickly?
Right. So that's what I was going to propose. We at least get that informational material out and then try to schedule that follow-up a discussion with them. I think a live discussion will be more useful than trying to lob them an email or go through staff again. I think Elisa's done a great job of getting the conversation started. But we probably want to have some sort of live call. And maybe I'll be the only one that shows up. But.
And we probably need to, the other challenge we have is we need to time box the accumulation of a list of all the research requests that we're trying to
make. Yeah.
Can you get closer to the phone, please?
Sorry, I don't have an issue. I was just going to say we need to make some kind of a time box on the research requests that are going to require funding, because we've got a budget for this year, and I'm pretty sure that budget is shy of what we need, and we're going to need to go and request more funds, and we need to time box that, because that will have implications, right? So
to Stan's point, I think we're just about there. I think we need somehow to get CCTLD there, which we'll talk about in just a minute. We want this parking data. And so I think that those are the last two big gaps to see in terms of research projects. There's still a lot of analysis that probably needs to be done.
No, right. And so, but there was the other stuff from NTLD. So it's just the stuff that in accumulation, we need to have a discrete list of all the outside data that we're trying to buy, I guess. And the extent to which we're getting more work out of analysis group, we need to start with that as
great.
Well.
But it sounds like that scoping effort's already happened or happening on analysis group at least. We're talking with these other two data sources. But yeah, I agree. I mean, maybe we should shoot for July as a drop dead date. You can't ask for any more money after the end of July.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is that probably need to make a decision the point at which we're going to ask for money, right? So that's the.
So right at that point, we could
do that once. Is my point.
We could sum up at the end of July how much money we think we need versus what the budget looks like, and decide whether.
And that's not just this group. I'm just
totally across the review team entirely. Yeah.
Right.
Agreed. Does that seem like with your chair hat on? Is that a reasonable timeline? To know the sum of all the things that we would have to for the fiscal year.
Yeah, I mean, sooner for us is better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's a way to do that in 2 weeks. I think it would be better than four.
Yeah.
2 weeks is better. All right. Well, so we definitely need to work this out with NTLD stats.
Which means doing things in parallel, like driving, right?
Yeah. So it probably means we need to try to have the call with NTLD stats this week.
What's happening as of the 1st of July is everybody's going to come to their managers trying to grab money. We need to be
there.
You got
to be there.
Exactly.
Right. Because then if we get whatever we get and then we need more, then it's a lot harder to get the more than it is the right.
Right. Okay.
All right.
So we should inflate the numbers later.
Okay.
So
does that make sense, Elisa? Can we set up a sub team? Anyone who's interested, call with NTLD stats next week sometime. And who's interested?
Yeah.
Other than Jordan's interested. Anyone else?
Yeah, me too. If I can make it, I don't know. Required.
I am. Okay. I am.
Stan and Jordan. Go ahead, Stan.
Although, Jordan, I would like an education from you about the variations and the way to define parking, because that would help me think about what we really want.
Yeah, sure. So I'll try to do that offline this week. And then, Stan, if you still need more education, we can do that early next week.
But can you send it to all, Jordan, so I'll know what we're standing for and what it is?
Yeah, no, the annotation I'm going to send out to the to the list. Along
so
with
we
the
have a clear identification if it means renewals or how long on the thing.
Yeah.
We need some.
Yep. Totally agreed.
Sorry. This is Elisa. So who's on the call then, Jordan? I have Jordan, Jonathan, and Stan. Is that it?
Megan and Dan.
Possibly, yeah. I may. You invite me. I'll see if I can come.
Okay. And we're aiming to do this call with them next week. And in the meantime, you'll narrow down the definition of what you're seeking.
We will. I'll send around some information for people, and we'll try to offline figure out to what. If we agree that, like, oh, this this is parking, this is not parking. I suspect to get that final definition, we'll need a call. But we could at least sort of see if there's things that we know we're interested or not interested in. I think the call will be helpful with them because they'll be able to tell us which parts are hard.
Exactly.
And then we can decide, oh, well, we don't really need that thing. It's really hard.
And put me in italics for the call because, it's possible I can't make it.
Right. I think Megan and Jonathan both said they were they're optional.
Optional,
the
yes.
Right.
If possible, I would like to.
If we follow up the,
everything.
If we're outliers in a doodle, then it's
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay, so that's NTLD stats. Anything else on that, Elisa?
No, I think that's all.
Okay, and then you had one more update.
I did.
I think you said three.
Did I say three? Oh. well, now that you mentioned it, I was also going to update you on some of the staff-led projects that were in here. So
sure.
There were several boxes that were related to policies. This was at Dan's suggestion. And so Dan and I have been corresponding about this. I think we've come up with a way to capture these different policies. I didn't invite him to the call because it's so early, but we have a new research intern who started on our team. His name is Michael Karakash, and he's been working on this. And basically what we decided to do is look at the 30 top new GTLDs by registration and compare different types of policies and try to capture whether or not they have, for example, a privacy policy, what's included in that, and capturing keywords. And that what we're going to do afterward with that spreadsheet is to turn it into more of a paper, a descriptive paper describing the similarities and differences between all of the different policies. The other idea that was suggested was to maybe look at registering a few names in different new Gs and see what the user experience is like and capture that as well in this paper. So I wanted to kind of float that and see what you all thought of adding that into this project or this exercise of comparing registry policies as a non-price competition factor.
Thanks, Lisa. Yes, that's interesting. So I think taking a look at the top 30 probably makes a lot of sense. I think we'll obviously miss some smaller registries will obviously have very different policies. And like that bank won't be in the top 30, but they'll have very interesting policies. So we may want to also cherry pick a few
sample, yeah,
other ones, or sample or cherry pick or something
right.
like that, just to make sure we don't miss some of the variation. I suspect what we'll see in the top 30 is they tend to be the most sort of like generic-y, you know, they're like .com basically. Whereas the ones with more interesting policies will naturally tend to be smaller, especially ones that have limitations on who's allowed to register in them. But I think starting with the top 30 sounds good, and I think it will probably be less work than doing it 30 times because many of them will be from the same registry operator, and you'll end up with sort of very
Right, and we did kind of do a quick analysis of like how many in there are donuts, and I don't have the answer at my fingertips here. But I think that's a good idea to add in some that you think might be truly differentiated, like bank and so forth.
I think that's a really good idea too, because just as an example, .eu is number 11 apparently of all TLDs.
Mm-hmm.
But we know already what its policies are. We know how it works. It's very straightforward. I don't think it's worthwhile to have someone take the time to go in and check it out because you've already been given the information. We've given it to you again. If you like. So I think the idea of sampling, I mean, someone should look at the top 30, obviously, and then see what's missing, like .bank. So an intelligent approach to the sampling. Then.
Sure.
Would be useful.
Educated sampling.
Well, that's right. And I think as long as we document it,
right.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you know what the approach was.
All right. That sounds great. Thanks, Elisa, and thanks, Dan. And are there other staff projects with updates?
I believe that was it.
Now, what... Actually, this is going to come back to a data source. I think one of the projects that you've said staff is capable of doing, we just need to tell them what to do, would be to do look for trademarked terms across and sort of count up how many TLDs they're in. But what we don't have is a list of trademarks that we want to use. I know Stan was looking at some of the papers on this, and I think, Stan, did you ever find the mysterious paper that we had by citation?
Well, Elisa suggested an alternative way to do it, which makes sense to me, so why don't you describe it? Because apparently for another project, analysis group is already collecting a list of trademarks. So why don't you talk about that, Elisa?
Oh, sure. So for the trademark clearinghouse review that analysis group has also been contracted to provide, what they did was collected a sample of all of the marks in the TMCH, 25% of them. So the suggestion was to just use that since it's an existing sample. And then for marks that are not in the clearinghouse, analysis group also produced a sample from the USPTO trademarks, and used those. And I can't recall off the top of my head what the numbers were, but it's in the several thousands for all of these together.
So my personal reaction is it's really nice they've done that. The selection bias is pretty bad in the, like, I wouldn't want to use that for science, but it may be that it's good enough for our purposes. But if it's just U.S. trademarks and just things on the TMCH, it's really skewed towards English-speaking countries, I think. Pardon?
Any insiders to some extent.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true for the TMCH. This is interesting. Because most big brands would be represented by someone who's already doing stuff with domains, I presume. So.
I think the earlier study that I looked at, which had about 1,000 trademarks, I believe those were U.S. as well.
Oh, they were U.S.
Previous study. I think so.
I imagine there must be some list that INTA keeps on, regional trademarks, top trademarks.
Yeah, I wonder if we could ask, INTA, what do you think the top most 2,000 important trademarks in the world are, or something like that?
Well, there's an interbrand list.
Right.
Global.
Right.
Go off that, but then again, if you're introducing the bias of large brands,
that's true.
But I bet there's a way to INTA to get a broader list, and then you do, a random every,
be helpful to
hypothetically
have,
every 50 or 100 or something,
It'd be helpful to have David Taylor in this discussion, I feel like. But in any case, I guess we have a decision to make. We can do what analysis group has already done, which is it's going to have a little bit of a selection bias problem, but seems totally plausible and is being used elsewhere in ICANN. And so that has the benefit at least to be able to sort of like compare data sets to some degree as well. Or do we go out and try to make some determination on our own about let's use this list, let's use that list, let's ask someone to give us a list.
Just for information, if you go back to the project list I circulated earlier, footnote 12 describes two of the studies of this type and describes the list of brand names that they use. One was taken from the Fortune 500 companies, and the other, can't find it here, but it's you can see what the people have done. I believe they're also U.S.-centric. Oh, yeah, here's one from the top 500 brands is ranked by Brand Finance.
It's Fortune
500. So take a look at footnote 12.
It is.
Yeah.
Fortune 500 is what?
U.S.-centric?
Yeah.
Because I know, the Fortune, wealthiest people isn't, right? So I didn't know if maybe the Fortune 500.
So this just gets back to, do we want to spend effort trying to figure out a good way, right? Because we'll have to... It may not be that much effort, but we'll have to spend some amount of time trying to compose a more international derive a more international list. What do people think? Are we comfortable with the analysis group approach, or do we want to spend a little time on this?
I mean, it's just that I wish that we had already finished our analysis of the Global South and the implications there, because I feel like that would drive my answer to this question.
Right.
Because there are certainly those who have suggested that we don't have a problem, like Crocker in our last meeting, that we don't have the problem we think we do with the Global South, that it's a different problem.
Right.
And if it's a different problem, then that would fundamentally change whether or not we need to really be fighting to try and build a global bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, well, I mean, one thing.
Natural inclination would be to build a better list.
Right. So Jonathan's natural inclination is to build a better list. What, Dan, do
you?
Actually, let me go back here. The earlier study used 200 of the top 500 global brands.
So maybe we could just take something like that, like the Interbrand list is probably good for if we want global brands.
I think that's, you know, look it up. I think that's
global. So we could supplement the, anything that's not on, that the analysis group hasn't already identified, that's on the, we could take some sample or take the whole Interbrand list, and just add that to, that would at least hit really big global brands, if not, but those would be, I would presume big global brands would also be the ones that defensive registration costs are affecting the most.
That's right. I think that's probably a reasonable assumption.
And once again, our INTA survey may help inform that mm-hmm. assumption. But so does that sound like a reasonable plan forward? We'll hunt down the Interbrand list, which is not very hard to hunt down because they publish it. And then, hunted it down.
Yeah.
Pardon?
It is global.
It is global, yeah. And so we will, I guess we could ask analysis group to take a quick look and see what fraction of those are already represented. Well, that might be a terrible methodology because some fraction of the global brands are also going to be U.S. brands, and that may let me just tell us.
Like, same, right.
Yeah, so maybe we should just ask them to add the 500 to their existing list. Except we have to, the main problem here is we have
we'll to... We'll be adding 500, you'll be adding whatever ones are missing.
Right, but the problem is we'll need to understand, the slight translation problem we have here is we need to go from brand, inter-brand brand to word mark, right? Which may be really straightforward, but like Google. Presumably Google. Google Inc. is probably Google.
Unless it's Alphabet now.
Right. That would actually be a complication, right? Because Alphabet would show up and you might want to say, oh, I really care about Google. But on the list, but the brands will probably be the same.
They also have Japan brands, the Spanish brands, the Brazilian brands, the pharma brands. They've got it broken up by industry and by region. So I don't know if that helps.
I mean, I think it only helps us if we decide we want to do some specific
retail brand
analysis. You could imagine a project, which I think will be for CCTR TV2, where you could take some of the same business segments that we've identified through our categorization effort and look to see what registration penetrations look like for brands related to that segment. Mm-hmm. So that seems like pretty... We don't know anything right now, and knowing something seems a lot more useful than trying to to dig into that.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be some part of this final report that says...
More research.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, where is it with infinite time, these are the questions that we would have addressed, or not infinite time, but more time having passed.
Right. Or more time for the review team as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's both for the review team and for life on...
So maybe the next step is just to ask analysis group if they think if there would be a reasonable way for them to add this interbrand set of brands to their existing trademark set. And if they say yes, that's really easy, then we'll go ahead and do that.
Right.
And if they say no, it's really hard because we have to go look at each of them and manually figure out what the brand is, then we'll figure out what to do.
Could you send me that list, please?
I actually would think if we're going to do two data sources, we ought probably not, let me think about it some more, but not to merge the two data sets and just do the calculations separately for both of them, realizing that one of them may have the bias you've described. sort of mixing all the data from two sources, you know, that usually creates problems.
So I think they're already mixing data. If they're keeping the existing list separate, then we could also keep this list separate. But if they're already mixing the TMCH data with US PTO data, or TM, whatever, that's the patent office, whatever the trademark thing is, then that's already happening.
Is the patent and trademark?
Oh, yeah.
Where you are, we separate. Patent office is one.
Right, in the US. but in any case, maybe we can just ask analysis group if there's a reasonable way to add this to their list. And either keep it separate or not, depending on whatever the practice is for the other.
And just to be clear, this isn't among the list of projects we asked analysis group to do. I was suggesting this is something that I think ICANN can do internally.
Oh, well.
Grabbing the data from analysis.
That's fine, too. Then if you guys want to give us the answer to that question, that's a fine answer as well.
So okay. I can also tell you just really quickly, I was asking Antonietta what the sample looks like from the TMCH report. Here's what she shared with me. It's 57% U.S.-based, 8% is China, 8% is Great Britain, and Germany is 6%.
Yeah. I mean, the TMCH is a particularly bad list in that obviously those are much more likely to be registered in Sunrise because they're only 100% of the domains registered in Sunrise were on the TMCH list. So there's a very strong selection bias with the TMCH list. And the USPTO list is presumably 100% American.
Well, I mean, foreign.
Registered in the U.S. at least. Registered in the U.S. at least, yeah.
So it might be a better list than you imagine.
Yeah, it's possible.
Because it's a popular place to register.
Sure.
I know the patent side of it is something like 70% foreign.
Oh, really? Interesting. Mr. Metrics. All right. So that takes us to the end of the project update. The one thing we haven't talked through is ccTLD data, which I wanted to make sure we got to a discussion of today. So Aliza was successful in getting, sounds like a great deal of cooperation from the ZooConnect people. And so now we have a big spreadsheet that she sent out earlier in the week, or last week, I don't know, very recently, that gives us, I think, three columns potentially filled in for each ccTLD that exists. The registrations as of the end of 2013, is that right, Aliza?
Yes, that's correct.
Which is slightly before, but not very much before, the first registration started in .shopica, which is the first of the gTLDs. Then we have end of 2015 data, because ZooConnect has told us they think their end of year data is the most accurate that they and most comprehensive that they have. And then finally we have March. What's the most recent data, Aliza?
It's March 16. That's their most recent data set.
March 2016.
Which was the data you saw, I think, already.
Right. So the surprising thing to me, and I didn't really take a close attempt to look at this, but it looked like there were a bunch of ccTLDs that were on the map that we saw that were not in the spreadsheet. So I was trying to wrap my head around why there was a difference between the two. Do you have any sense of that, Aliza?
I do not, and I wonder if the map, I believe, was from Nominate, right? I wonder if they just had other sources for those CCs.
Maybe Nominate had some CCTLD that wasn't in.
Right. Or maybe I'm making things up.
There are a few CCTLDs that don't have a number in that registry. For example, Bulgaria, but I think that...
And was it on the map?
Not because it's in Cyrillic.
No, Bulgaria is in Latin.
I'm Latin.
But they don't publish their number of domain names. So,
cheeky.
Right.
We can ask them.
But are they on the, are they on your map?
Are they?
I
my main question. Let's look. What is Bulgaria? BG.
It's like the B.
I like how in this map there's an ocean between Europe and Russia and Asia.
See, I can't read.
I've not seen Bulgaria on this map. Oh, here it is, BG. Yeah, so they do show a number for Bulgaria. So somehow this map has some data that
isn't in the spreadsheet.
Isn't in the spreadsheet. Right.
Why can't I read it? Is it just me, or is it, can you read? You have to read it on a big laptop. I mean, a big computer.
The map or the.
The whole business. I got something.
Right. Oh, I don't know.
So,
all right.
Never mind. I'll look at it. Oh, there it is.
Vatican City has 194. So. One thing we could do is take a look at how big the we could basically look at what we're missing and compare the missing cells to the map and sort of get a sense of how big these are. And if they're all really tiny, if Bulgaria is the biggest one at 38,000, then maybe we just don't care. If we're missing, for example, we're missing TK in the most recent data. Which is the largest, and you can see in this funny map, in Dan's map, TK is like bigger than Asia.
Yeah.
this tiny island in the middle of the ocean. It's a little bit of an interesting infogram. so that's one that we would probably definitely want to get some handle on. There's a number here of 31 million, so someone thinks it's that big.
Big.
But so there may be that we just want to look and see if there's any big gaps in the spreadsheet as a first step. If there is, then we probably should go to Nominate and ask them, how the hell did you make this map? You say you use Zupnik data, but we talk to them and they don't have that data.
Hmm.
We could do that. There's people from Nominate here. So we could do
that. Quite a few of them.
We could do that this week. Maybe we should just do that. Maybe some of us that are here should try to hunt down someone from Nominate and see if we can ask that question. Independently, does someone want to spend a few minutes to an hour to try to do a comparison between the map and the empty cells and see if there's any significant gaps in the empty cells?
Okay, I'll try to find if there's data somewhere around.
Okay, so Dan has proposed to not only to do this analysis, but to try to find the missing the data for the missing cells.
All right.
Which will probably be more easy to do for recent data than to go back 2.5 years in time.
I think it would be important if we can fill in the gaps for the open GTLDs, because for some purposes we're going to want to include them with the GTLDs, and so I think those are especially important.
Yeah, I see TK consistently show up in every analysis of CCTLD size I ever see. So someone somehow has a way to either guesstimate or get the number for .tk. And at 31 million names, we probably need to
statistically.
We probably need to include that in our count.
But I wouldn't just focus on them. Isn't .tv big?
It's only 500.
I used to hear ads for them all the time.
So .tv charges, I think their names are relatively expensive, so they charge 500, there's 500,000 .tv names, but I think they make a lot of money by getting actual TV shows and pay them a lot more than a normal person would for a
Wow, there's only 500,000.
Yeah. Well, according to this map.
Yeah,
oh, you're looking at the map. I thought, how could you figure that out going through the Excel?
Yeah. But yes, I agree, Stan. We can go through so I have a few questions to ask people so if we can get a rough sense of the room on do we agree on a few notions about data. Number one is, are we okay using the end of 2013 as the start of the GTLD program, even though it's not quite the start of the GTLD program? Everyone's nodding. Does anyone on the call think that's a bad idea? All right.
I think it's a good idea.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. So we'll do that. Our official start of the GTLD program is December 31st, 2013, or something around there. Closest data point we have to that date. And then the next question is, if we think Zoopnik's the best data, and they think their best data is from December 2015, is that close enough to now that we consider it good enough, or do we want to rely on less reliable data that's more recent?
Well, I mean, once we've actually got that mapped into a database, we can perform the calculations again in December.
Yeah, that's true. We could just wait. And I mean, that's roughly what I was thinking is we would
do it twice, I guess is my point. It's just a data import and then click and you'd have a
right.
new bit of data.
You can make sure it didn't surprise.
Right.
You got no new surprising results at the end of that.
The process.
No, I think that's right. Once the spreadsheet is set up and the formulas are entered, it's a piece of cake to change the data. In fact, if there's June data when we get our final report, you could use the most up to date data.
Yeah,
right. But if their most accurate data is year end, then let's at the very least grab the 2015 data, but then commit to doing an update in 2016.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's roughly the strategy that was in my head as well. So that sounds good. Anyone disagree with that strategy? The more recent tranche. All right, and then. Dan has suggested, and I think we have generally agreed in the past, that we want to, at least in some of our analysis, that we want to include some ccTLDs as considered like gTLDs for the purpose of comparison. I sent around the Google list for this. I don't know of any other list. Does anyone disagree with using the list from what Google Search considers to be?
I even saw that. I'm sorry. I missed that email. But
sure.
You have a list of ones that Google Search considers to be generic?
Correct.
I have this problem, which I've already explained to you.
Mm-hmm.
You consider .eu to be a gTLD.
So EU and Asia, I think, are somewhat special case from that, in that they say... So I'm fine treating those two differently, and it's really just
I don't
EU.
Want it to be treated differently.
No,
it's a ccTLD.
I'm trying to find treating those differently from the rest of that list, in that I think what the list is saying is we don't understand how to treat these we don't understand how to treat these like countries, which is, I think, correct. The EU is not a country, right? Like if you're in Germany, Google's not going to say that all the content in .eu should be targeted to people in Germany. Whereas, like, .de, it would say, like, oh, if you're doing a search in Germany, you should get extra.
No, not necessarily. I mean, that was the point I made as well. I can't remember if it was in the, which of these, if it was the Analysis group or the Nielsen group. We were looking at .berlin, for example, or .de. And my argument was you should not just look at .berlin and .de within Germany, you have to also look at all other European countries because they also look for those things. And that's exactly the argument of .eu.
Okay.
So you have to be registered in a European country
to
use .eu. But that's the whole point of the single market, that you should be able to use the whole business.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the United States. Let's say you're registered in Ohio, but you want to know what's going on in California.
Right.
Of course you do if you live in Ohio. No. So that's my point. That it's not like .tv. It's not like .ca.
Sure, sure.
Obviously.
Right. No. I guess. But the point I was making is that the statement that Google's making in that list is that it doesn't consider .eu targeted to any specific country, because it's not.
Does it consider it targeted to a region?
Targeted to a region.
Exactly.
Right.
It's
but
targeted to a limited number.
Right. But so Google doesn't have a notion of regional targeting. So yeah. So it puts .eu and .asia together, and it says these are similar in that they're targeting a region. And so we don't country target them. I sent it around to the list.
I'll look for it. I might have just missed it, but I guess my me.
How many are
there? Yeah. It's like 20.
How do you target Guam?
Pardon?
Guam, the Pacific island
mm-hmm.
under
Guam.
The U.S. Guam. Okay. How do you target that? you consider that as or Puerto Rico? And do you target it as a country or
So I don't actually know the answer to that question. I'd be happy to look up. I noticed .gm and .pr are not on the list, I don't think, so they would be considered to be
because partners. I feel that considering whether it is a country or not itself, that is sort of fuzzy at all.
Well, PR might be getting used as a, but I guess the other question too is, as we do regional analyses, .de is a perfect substitute.
For .eu.
For .com mm-hmm. in Germany.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So it is a generic in that sense.
Right. So that's true, but the specific question we're trying to get at is, there's some set of, we know that some ccTLDs are basically marketed and treated as generic, right?
No, agreed. So, I mean, for that, as an international, let's call it an international generic.
Sure.
Something like that. So .com is an international generic. .tv is an international generic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's and we've talked about doing regional analyses as well, and it's clear just from the numbers that .de is a substitute for, say, .com
right.
in Germany. And so what we need to do is get the regional data out of Verisign or somebody like that in order to make
correct.
That comparison.
So that's correct, but a separate question that I'm trying to answer before
okay.
we get off this call. So I do agree that gets very much the discussion that we were having in D.C. about
right, and that's what I remember.
Market definition, essentially.
Same for this apply for every other country. .rs, for example, is a substitute for .com.
No, agreed. No, and so that's why I think we need to
yeah.
make them part of the market, because these markets are regional in nature, not just international in nature.
I just went on the internet. I did actually a Google search, and I found an article called Registrations in Open ccTLDs. I'll forward the link. Maybe this will give us some idea of a slightly more limited list. This list is .cc, .tv, .ws. I'll just send this along in a few minutes.
Also, so why don't so here's homework. Stan's going to forward that. Everyone, take a look. Let's try to decide by our next call, either offline or on our next call, what we consider to be the list of
international
generics. All right, so we have 5 more minutes. I think we're through the data discussions.
So the only other thing is just for you personally, before I forget, you were going to get me a contact at CETO. One of the things I took on as a to-do was to do a
yeah.
price comparison before
yeah.
and after.
All right, let's do that. Yeah, let's do that.
So I don't mean to disrupt the meeting,
no.
but I just want to...
All right, so... Jonathan, a thing that I had put on our agenda that we'll only have a couple minutes to talk about now is, I think now, hopefully very soon, we're going to stop talking about data sources and data, and we're going to start getting data
right.
and start writing some text.
Right.
What do you have a view on, are each of the sub-teams going to write their own sort of sections of a final report?
So that's interesting you raise that.
Yeah.
Because Alice has been cracking the whip on me to answer that question as well.
Right.
So I'm gonna propose a template because we're trying to do this evidence-based thing. And so I've been just trying to noodle what that looks like, because it's almost like a recursive tree when you look at hypotheses and evidence for trees. So I will circulate something I committed by the 4th to you and Laureen to look at, that hopefully we can then socialize on the 6th.
Okay.
So that'll be, so what I may do is create a dummy section that's clearly fictional, right, from the application evaluation piece or something, as a template that's prosaic in nature, and then also create a kind of an evidence tree diagram that will be a way for people to fill in things from data sources. So those are the two things in my head, but ideally we would standardize, yes, the answer is yes, they would each create the section,
right.
but they would be standardized in nature.
Yeah,
that's the idea.
Okay, so it sounds like we'll talk about this on our next plenary call.
That's
then
right.
we can pick up again.
We will talk about it on our leadership call
yeah.
in a bit.
Okay.
Okay, but I'll circulate it on the 4th.
Right, okay. And then on our next call, we can talk about how we want to start approaching putting together individual components of
right.
of the text.
And the other thing that we might want to do is figure out, based on what data we have and what data we have coming in the near term, some subset of our questions that we could have draft answers to by the face-to-face end of August.
For okay. That sounds...
Won't be all of them, but I mean...
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Sounds good. All right, any other thoughts? Anyone else have thoughts on this?
So related with CCT of this data, should we still need to contact the organization or we quit of that idea after we have data?
So I think we should still talk to Nominate and find out what they did, because they may just be like, oh, we have this cool database, do you want it? And then we'd be really happy. And then as soon as we talk with them, unless they turn around to us and say, here's all the data we need, I think we should do the gap analysis and sort of see what's missing. And
I can tell you already from that they exclude .eu
right.
for some peculiar reason.
Just
seems to be the red-headed stepchild of
non-stop problems.
I know. It's because they're in Britain.
Exactly. You see, it's Brexit.
they knew. They knew. Yeah, that's interesting. He's not on here.
And I already complained to them. And so did our .eu colleagues. But
right.
I mean,
I have a .eu.
Oh,
so
do
sure
you?
That I'm,
our family has a .eu.
Actonline.eu.
All right, any other...
regarding your point about getting regional organizations, I think some of them don't...
Al's a baby.
Like I can't
hear this baby
anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well,
maybe.
The representative from the regional organization is here. I talked to him today. He didn't have any data
okay.
at all. So it's that dominates.
So we're hoping these other data sources are good.
It's too dominant. It's good, but it's limited. Right. It's not quite everything.
Yeah. All right. Well,
it's a good start.
But you can see gaps if we talk to specific.
Right.
Here, the administrators. I love a look. Sorry, I didn't come with my laptop.
No problem.
I love a look at the things that you
don't
that you sent, and there are some CCC administrators I know in my region. I can always ask them.
Okay.
Especially for that's both probably. for the beginning point of 2013 December mm-hmm. and the other point there. Huh?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Bada. All right.
More effective than that regional organization.
Yeah.
All
right. Okay, thanks,
Jordan,
thanks everyone.
I have one more project that we haven't talked about that I wanted to get some feedback on, if I can really quickly.
Yep, as long as we don't get caught in this room.
Okay, it's quickly, on 2.5, this was a project you suggest, which was for each new TLD, what fraction of the second level domains are available in COM. So I talked to our team, and we can do this calculation. I guess the question was, do you want a snapshot in time? If so, when? Is that just current data, or do you want to see this tracked over time?
That's interesting. Let's connect offline, Lisa. I will think about that and get you an answer.
All right. I'll follow up with you on that separately.
But what fraction of names, it's like your big shots dot photography, like what fraction of those who you've gotten.com at the time you're at?
But is this the donuts research that they're talking about doing?
It's basically doing it. Well, so ICANN has all the data they need to do this themselves, because they know for every domain what names are registered.
But they know a way to automate it? I mean, that's a big...
Their technical team says that they can do this for us, so...
Okay. Do you have the, because I just talked to Nevitt about getting theirs.
Uh-huh.
I keep hearing about it, but haven't actually read it.
Okay.
Do you have it?
I have the blogs that they've put. I'll send you what I have. But I think the having ICANN do it will be better, because it won't just be for one registry operator, obviously.
Right. Yeah, if you do it. I mean, I guess I feel like a snapshot is fine.
Yeah.
I heard a question, because it's just getting at this notion about whether consumers perceive... We won't necessarily know what the basis of that perception
right.
is, but if they perceive a value, because I can't even tell you why I did it.
Right.
But we can at least see that there's a perceived value to that segmentation.
Yeah, I suspect that's correct, that a snapshot's fine. But let's connect offline, Elisa, since we're out of time.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
I have a minor question for Elise, but Elisa will know this anyway. It's just about where are you planning to have your...
Oh, yeah.
Today's meeting. No one knows.
But it's still scheduled to be on the 29th and 30th of August.
It's sort of like a whack-a-mole problem with the terrorists, I think, is the problem. Crop up, we're trying to avoid the places that they've been. That's my understanding.
You have to think future.
Yeah.
No, I know.
The assumption the terrorists only attack places they had previously.
Well, no, exactly. So it should be. I remember in the movie World According to Garth, a plane flies into this house that he's looking at, and the real estate agent is like, you know, depressed, and he says, I'll take it.
It's
disaster proof now.
All right, everyone. Thanks.
Sorry, that meeting thing really has to be done. We have problems getting
visa.
If come here, I got a visa for 1 month. But if I had the letter for that meeting, I would send it. But I didn't have any documents.
We just got a death.